some tourists were traveling in Europe. They chanced upon on the edge of town quite a mansion, and as they had some free time, they started looking around the grounds, and then all of a sudden the gardener appeared. The gardener said, "Would you like to come in the backyard?" So the tourists did, and they were just taken in amazement by the care of the garden. The yard was just manicured. It was just lovely. They had never seen anything like it before. They said to the gardener, "Certainly the owner of this home must just be overwhelmed by what's done here. He must really take a lot of pride and must just look at it so often and be thankful for you as a gardener." But the gardener said, "No, he's not around too much." "Well, what do you mean?" And the gardener replied, "Well, he lives in America, in the United States of America. Well, surely he must come here often." "Well, no, he doesn't come here too often. In fact, it's been a very long time." "Well, he writes a lot?" "No, I don't think he's written, but maybe once in the last year." "Well, I don't understand. Why are you keeping the garden in such meticulous condition?" "Oh, you must be expecting him tomorrow." "No, no. I expect him today. Every day, I expect him." The Bible is full of prophecy. And of the many prophecies, one has to do with Jesus coming again. We need to expect him more. And be not like the lady who, after the sermon on the second coming, even left during the benediction. The pastor felt somebody was leaving, and afterwards she came to him and said, "I don't like a bit what you just told us, especially when you started praying, 'Come, Lord Jesus.'" She said that would mess up everything if the Lord came now. The Bible has told us a lot of things. And if you'll follow with me in your sheet, I want you to help me by reading in a few moments. A prophecy is part of the gospel. And that is why when we turn to God's word, we know what is going to happen. We don't know in detail how things are going to happen, but we know it is going to happen. One pastor was asked by a member of the congregation, "Don't you ever preach on the second coming?" And he said, "No, I don't think I ever have." And she said, "Well, don't you yearn for his coming?" And those words kept echoing in his ears, and he started thinking about that statement, yearning for his coming. And he admitted to the lady, "I have been so busy preaching about his first coming that I have left out his second coming." Well, maybe in pulpits across our land this is quite true. But I have in my hand here a copy of my very first sermon 20 years ago. And it was, "It's Later Than You Think." It has to do about the second coming. It's part of the gospel, and you've heard it from the pulpit often. There were 26 points on that first sermon. I know you'll appreciate the four this morning. The fulfillments that have already taken place in our world leave absolutely no doubt as to the authenticity of this Bible. No other book can compare with it for a moment. Men may explain away many of its doctrines. Men may ridicule its teaching and find loophole in the historicity of the events it describes, that is, to their own satisfaction. But there is one thing that no man has or ever can explain away, and that is the exactness of the prophecy that is in the Bible. What lies ahead for America? Are we bound for peace or are we bound for war? Prosperity or adversity? Depression or inflation? What's the next act in the great drama of the United States and in the world? Nations are perplexed. Uncertainty characterizes the attitude of our statesmen from the local level to the high level. The future regarding the Middle East crisis and South America and other areas is concealed in obscurity, but in God's Word, we find the answer to a lot of our problems and a lot of things that are going to occur. National selfishness seems to have gripped the entire race. And the spirit of greed from the oil companies to the corner apple seller is present, and we say, what next? Well, the Bible tells us what next. God knew from the beginning. Financial, industrial, economic problems are going to increase, God says. God says governments will rise and fall, war clouds will gather, conditions will grow worse and worse. The poor disciples turned to the Lord and they said, Jesus, when shall all these things be? Matthew 24. And Jesus answers them in chapter 24. I hope you'll read chapter 24 sometime this week. The answers to your questions about what is going to happen in the future is contained in chapter 24. If you'll follow on the mimeograph sheet, someone says, what is going to happen? When will the end time be? And I've listed 12 areas from God's Word that tell me that we are living in the latter days. I believe that this generation is on the threshold of the very end time, because I feel that those things that have been prophesied in God's Word now as never before have grouped themselves together. For example, God says a prophecy, and many of the prophecies have come true. You know, if I would give you 6 prophecies that would happen in the next week, and only, for example, 1 was not true, then I would be discredited, wouldn't I? God has given hundreds of prophecies. They have all, many of them have come true. Others are still to come to pass. And so, since not one has been discredited, then we've got to take God's word. And God says that at the end time, widespread apostasy will prevail. Would you read this together, please? Out loud. Now the Spirit Do I need to expound on that one sentence from God's Word? It's a prophecy that the end time will come. Number 2, conditions are going to prevail in the world, in America, in King City, like the time of Noah. Read this verse, if you will. God says, I will destroy the world again. He has promised us. Now this is from God's word. I am promising you all that I'm going to destroy the earth. I will destroy it not by flood as I did the first time, but I will destroy it by fire. God has promised. And when will it come? Well, conditions are going to prevail like they prevailed during the days of Sodom. Read this if you would. This condition is prevailing, isn't it? There's going to be a marked increase of sin and godlessness and lawlessness. And in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, we have a list of things in the prophecy that will have to be fulfilled before the end time. Without reading aloud, just look over this sentence, these sentences from God's Word. Many of them strike home. Many of them we have read about in the newspaper this past week. Many of them we have experienced with our own eyes, or we are familiar with. These are things that are going to occur according to God's timetable before the end time. Number five, they're going to be scoffers. There shall come in the last days scoffers, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." We have scoffers today. There's going to be persecution. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was asked about these signs, he says that there's going to be a lot of things occurring. Many people will deceive you. Many will come and say, "I'm the Christ," and shall deceive many. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And he goes on to list some of the things that will occur at the end time. Number eight, there's going to be an increase of travel and knowledge. Evangelism, number seven, is increased as a result of number eight. In Daniel 12:4, which is a great book of prophetic utterances, Daniel has been led to, and it's been revealed to him, things that are going to happen. Never before have people traveled so far and so wide. In years gone by, it was the plot of just a few people who were financially able to make worldwide travels. Now, it's not unheard of for anybody to borrow money and, if necessary, make their travels. We can do this. The Bible says there's going to be an increase in travel and knowledge. Think of the things that we know now that were unheard of a century ago. Think of the things that are being taught your children in school that you were not even aware of 5 or 6 years ago. The Bible says that there's going to be an increase in travel, an increase in knowledge, right before the end of the world. It says further that there's going to be a time when the Jews will return to Palestine. Would you read number nine, please? The time has come when Jews are returning to Palestine with the beginning of their nation. In 1917, prior to that time, it was predicted that at 1917, precisely, there would come a time when the negotiations would begin. And in 1917, things began happening. Just within a few years, so to speak, we have seen a great host of Jews returning to Palestine. Jesus has told us in his word that these things are going to come to pass. Number 10, the church will not be watching, and I dare say that churches today are not watching for the return of Jesus, because we have too many other things to do to be bothered by his return, like the lady who said, "My plans would be all upset if Jesus came this week." The church is not going to be watching. And Jesus said, when you don't think he's going to come, he will come. Be ready. And then number 11, which we've already mentioned from Matthew 24, there are going to be the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes, and the wars. Now, I believe that this means that precisely at the same time, these things will occur. Oh, we've always had pestilences here, there, and yonder. Earthquakes are frequent. They've been here, there, and yonder. But I feel that when these things simultaneously occur, then we are at that time. And Jesus said, when asked the question, "Master, when will the end be?" replied, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. These things must come to pass." And he goes on to say in Matthew 24 about the earthquakes and the wars. My friend, we are now experiencing things like this on a vast scale like never before. which says to me that the indicator is pointing toward the end time, whether we like it or not. Peace conferences, it has been prophesied, and would you read, please, this? Never before have so many people been involved in so many peace movements, and yet this is just another prophecy. The list would go on and on, but for your study, I've listed only 12. I want you to take these home and read the scriptures again, and read the scriptures that are in parentheses that were not mentioned. These are prophecies that are in God's Word, and listen carefully, not one word fails that God has ever spoken. Now, you may or may not feel as I feel, but I do believe that we are living in the latter days. So what? So then, what if it were today? Are you ready? The grandparents went to visit their grandchildren on the East Coast. It was their custom every summer to do so. The grandfather had to leave on a business trip, but he told the grandchildren, "I'm going to come back. I'll come right back. You'll see me leave on this train, but I will come back on the train. I want you to be ready because I'm coming back." And they were having such a grand time together that the children, as soon as the train left, when they went back home, started washing their hands and cleaning up. They even wanted to change their clothes, which was unheard of. And they wanted to get so clean and be clean. And they kept doing this. They told grandmother, "I want to do it several times a day." And when asked why, the answer was, "Grandfather's coming back. He said he was going to come back. I want to be all ready for him." There's a lot of discussion, a lot of controversy, and a lot of books have been written about what's going to happen when Jesus returns. I want to talk to you in subsequent Sundays about some of the things that the Bible talks about and tell you what some people believe. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know in what order of the events will be when Jesus comes back. But this I know, that God told me in His Word that there's going to come a time when He is going to destroy the world and all that's therein who do not believe in Jesus. And that's why it's important to believe. This is why it's important to be a Christian. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 24, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." When He does come, He's going to do a number of things. In the list of things, the scripture says, He shall divide the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. The king will say to them on His right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, just for example, suppose He would come right now. How would you be classified? You can't be on the fence. Either you are a believer or you're not a believer. And only you can make the decision. May we stand as we pray. Our Father, wake us up to the fact that Jesus is coming again. And wake us up to the fact that when the night comes, man will not work anymore. wake us up to the fact that the night is coming, that the day hours are shortening by every tick of the clock. And there will come that time, according to God's plan, when the alarm will go off and God will say, "That's it." We pray, our Father, the time would be stretched out so that if there are those in this sanctuary who are not saved, who are not believers, would turn to you in belief and acceptance. For the price was paid upon Calvary, the sacrifice was made, and only by accepting the sacrifice will our heart be right for that time. We who are saved have a great responsibility to spread the word, to live the word, to act the word of God, so that your kingdom would be extended. As we sing this concluding hymn, our Father, we pray your Spirit would speak to our hearts, and may we all be prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to this concluding hymn, number 89, "He is Coming Again." It's a time when, if you're not a Christian, why not become a Christian? It's a time, if you are a Christian and looking for a church home, if God leads you to do so, to unite with our church, it's a time for, as a Christian, to dedicate yourself to his cause. I guess that includes everybody here this morning. We all have a decision to make. What will yours be as we sing?
In the third stanza, in conclusion, we pause to make sure that we all have made arrangements for that time. Third stanza, our responsibility as Christians is to tell others, both near and far, that he is coming. And one way we can do that, since we all can't go ourselves, is to give so others can go. And part of your money goes to missions around the world. We worship God now with his tithe and with our own.
Will we stand for our benediction, please?
I hope that all of you will stay for a few minutes as we fellowship together in the social hall and greet some of our newcomers and some of our newer church members. Our benediction thought is this, that silence is golden, but sometimes for a Christian it's just plain yellow. Our Father, as we go into the world, we pray that as Christians we would vocalize what we are experiencing with you as our partner, so that others would know what is happening within us. We thank you for your love, and we pray that you would dismiss us now with your loving kindness and your blessing, a special blessing, upon each one in this sanctuary.